Hi folks, welcome to 2 Feet Apart. This is an intersectionally inclusive space where community meets storytelling. It's a space that is nurtured by vulnerability and the sharing of our stories because they are our greatest strengths and our strongest powers. With that in mind, happy listening. Hi everyone, welcome back to 2 Feet Apart with me, your host, Peachy Patra. Today I'm really looking forward to speaking to Ella. Ella is a retired ballroom dancing world champion, a serial entrepreneur, and a mom to a boisterous toddler. Ella, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a retired ballroom dancer. This past November marked 9 years since I stopped competitive dance. And since then, I embarked on a journey of studying marketing. I worked in retail while I was in university. I also went to university as a mature student. So that was a very unique experience and unlike what the average person goes through. And after completing my degree, I went into the corporate world of marketing. I did a couple internships. I worked at large corporations in the hospitality industry, retail industry, working on loyalty marketing, strategic partnerships, B2B partnerships, a bit of influencer marketing in that mix as well to bring those B2B partnerships to the forefront. And at the beginning of COVID, I was poached into an entirely different role, also corporate, where I was more on the data collection side of things and seeing how that fits with loyalty programs. And exactly a year later, almost to the day, I ended up getting fired from that job. But I had a side hustle going on at the same time, which was my e-commerce brand. So I kind of just kept that up and kept it rolling. A month after getting fired, I found out I was pregnant. So looking for a new 9-to-5 wasn't really the move at that point. And during my pregnancy, I kind of just took the opportunity to go with the flow, see how things go, try not to stress myself out too much for obvious reasons. And I ended up freelancing in social media just to make some extra cash on the side. And since then, so now coming up on almost 2 years, as my daughter turns 2 next week, I actually launched a marketing agency, which stemmed from that freelancing experience where I treat my own e-commerce brand like a case study and help other small and medium-sized businesses with their full-service social media management. We have an in-house creator team, so we create the content from start to finish for socials, as well as some event management and production for product launches, activations, etc., and a lot of fun things in between.
Amazing. There's so much to unpack there, but I want to rewind a little bit to your experience as a ballroom dancer. I think that sounds so, like when you hear it, you're like, that's such a title of prestige almost, right? You're like, that sounds so cool. That's so fascinating. Tell us more. So I would love for you to tell us more.
Absolutely. So it all started when my Soviet parents, who couldn't realize their own dreams, having grown up in the Soviet Union, decided to realize their dreams through me and signed me up at the young age of 5 years old for my first ballroom lesson. Wow. And yeah, and I was really disappointed because when they said, I'm going to dance class, I imagined tutus and pointe shoes. So when I came to this ballroom class, it wasn't what my five-year-old brain was expecting. And the first few years were definitely challenging. There was a lot of bribery from my mom in particular. Pizza, dolls, $1 per lesson well spent. Just, it was a lot. But over the years, I got very much into it. It was just something that worked out the most out of all my extracurriculars. And I got really into it. The traveling component started where we started to travel for competitions, and that became really exciting. More makeup, more accessories in the hair, prettier dresses with rhinestones, running around in high heels. I really started to fall in love with competing. And obviously to compete, you have to practice. So while I wasn't a huge fan of practicing, I loved competing so much and also seeing a reward for the practice. So kind of trickled into motivating those long days and long hours. And it ended up taking over my entire life until I was 21. I didn't go to university straight from high school as a result because I was traveling on average twice a month. A lot of these times it was overseas trips for 3 or 4 days, whether it was for competitions, for workshops with world-class coaches and teachers. It was just a lot for that time period. I would say I started traveling that frequently around age 15, 16, continued to 21, and it was just nonstop, go, go, go. If I was in Toronto, we were in the studio 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, practicing most of the days, otherwise teaching kids or older folks who did ballroom socially. It was my whole life. There was nothing else in my life. I had nothing else to talk about either.
Wow, that definitely sounds very all-encompassing. And how was your time? When you travel for like work trips and you're like, it's traveling, but it's not really traveling because it's for work. Is it similar when you're traveling for ballroom dancing?
That's exactly how it is. I have these passports full of stamps, but a lot of these cities, I can't even tell you a landmark in them or what I've seen or what I've experienced. I think as I got older and started to actually understand the value of the dollars my parents spent on these trips, I started to prioritize whether an extra day while I'm there or finding a few hours in between at the beginning, at the end, to actually see something and experience the place I'm in. But I think the first few years, I really didn't understand. And I didn't foresee that it could all come crashing down and come to an end one day. I thought this was forever, especially when I was younger and more naive. But as I got into my 20s and also met my accountant husband, I realized that it wasn't a sustainable long-term career or plan. And I started to appreciate it a bit more, but definitely not the same as traveling for leisure.
And I'm curious, how did you meet your husband since your life was so revolved around ballroom dancing?
Honestly, it was purely accidental. We were not supposed to meet. I was flying in, this was end of December, from an overseas dance trip. And before I got on the plane, a girlfriend of mine texted me and said, "We're going out tonight after you land." Me and this guy, we went for coffee and we want to go to a nightclub, but it's awkward for the two of us to go to a nightclub together. So I'm bringing you and he's bringing a friend. And before the overseas flight, I was like, you know what? Whatever. I can rally. I'll do it. So I agreed. By the time I landed, I had to go to the dance studio for some lesson with some coach. It was something important politically. So straight from the airport, I go to the studio. I have this lesson. I'm driving home. I get a flat tire. There's a snowstorm. I'm
Oh
dealing with this
no.
tire. I'm trying to get home. All these things are happening. On the way home, I call my friend. I'm like, it's not going to happen. Find someone else. You have enough friends who are easygoing and can come out with you in a couple hours. It's not happening for me. To which she said, no, the guys creeped your Facebook photos. I can't bring someone else at this point. So I came home, I got ready, she came and picked me up, we went out, and my now husband was the friend that was brought with the guy she was seeing at the time. And funny enough, he had a very similar story on his end, where he was already hanging out, having a cozy night with someone else, where the friend called, said, "You have to come out," to which he said, "No, I'm having a cozy night, I'm not going out." And he sent my Facebook photos. To which my now husband said, "Okay, fine, I'll come out."
Oh my gosh, I love that. So wholesome.
Yeah. I
So
won't go into
wholesome.
details what parts of the photos he liked, but yeah, let's call it wholesome.
Okay, fair enough. And then what did that journey look like when you stopped ballroom dancing? All of a sudden your life kind of shifts completely, I imagine. What was that like for you?
It was terrifying because I knew nothing else. And it wasn't entirely my choice to go into retirement. It was more so my dance partner and my dance coach deciding that we should go separate ways. My parents couldn't financially uphold that frequency of travel anymore, whereas my dance partner was teaching a lot more than I was. He was able to do it. So him and our coach decided they're going to drop me, which was traumatizing by itself.
Yeah.
From a dance partner of 10 years, but that's okay. Obviously, I think it turned out for the best, but I really felt lost. I had no idea what to do. I tried teaching, but then having been dating my now husband at that point for 2 years, I kind of looked at the bigger picture. I knew I enjoyed teaching kids, but kids take lessons in the evenings and on weekends. And I was dating my husband, who was studying for his CPA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as a CPA, he would be working 9 to 5. And I had hopes of marrying this guy. And I realized that our schedules just wouldn't align. And I kind of started to think about the implications to our lifestyle as a future family at that point. And honestly, I have to give credit where credit is due. He helped lead me into a direction of kind of like career rediscovery. He was studying at Ted Rogers School of Management in one of his last couple years. He said, why don't you take a couple continuing education courses that if you do the undergrad, they'll actually count towards your degree, but you can pay per course and test it out. See what you like, what side of business you like, and see how it goes. I also was obsessed with shopping at the time. So applying for a part-time retail job was kind of a no-brainer. So I went out and did that and ended up landing one of my dream stores as my first job. And I took these courses. I started to get a feel for business school and decided to apply for the undergrad. So the timing of all of this was I jumped into the courses in January, applied for jobs, started working in March while having 2 evening courses. And around April, May, I applied to join the undergrad program from September, which I got into. And then I went into studying marketing management at the Ted Rogers School of Business. And everything kind of just trickled from there.
Amazing. So I want to come back to your continuing education. But before then, is there something about ballroom dancing that you think other people might not know that they should know, or that's like a fun fact about it?
I don't know if it's a fun fact, but I think there's a lot that's not seen on the surface about the industry. And I think it was actually valuable to me as somebody who came out of an industry with no knowledge of the real world, so to speak. But I had all these other, I guess, strengths and skill sets that came out of it, like time management, organization, knowing how to book a 3-city trip, having a sense of the importance of image, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of folks don't really have that background, especially between the age of 18 and 22. Maybe if they go to business school, they get introduced like, oh, you should come to an interview in a suit. But especially coming out of high school, nobody has that sense. And I think the ballroom dance industry really instills it, where the way you look to the people in your industry, every moment that they see you matters. And I've been able to carry that with me throughout my entire career since then. And I just think a lot of people and a lot of parents now don't see those other benefits that come with it, as well as even physical benefits like good posture, the ability to dance. I think if you don't get too far into it the way I did, there's a lot of benefits to signing up kids or teenagers to ballroom dancing.
Mm-hmm. It's something that I've even looked into as an adult. I know there's a couple schools near me that they do like adult classes, and I'm like, I kind of want to do it. I think I have to wait for my son to be a bit bigger so that I can get people to watch him for me. But
yeah,
it seems like so much fun. And I have a friend of mine who used to do it with her husband. They took lessons all the time. And she speaks so highly of it. So it's definitely so fascinating. I'm curious your experience. You talk about how, you know, presentation is a really important thing in ballroom dancing. And I grew up competitively dancing, but the other kind of dance. So I did like jazz, ballet, tap, lyrical, which is like contemporary and things like that. And one of the things that I really struggle with now is letting myself not be presentable at all times. Like, I really struggle with just bumming out in sweatpants, or I will never leave my house in like yoga pants, or like to leave in leggings is a really big thing for me.
It's a crime.
It's basically a crime. Like, my family is all always shocked if they see me out and about in leggings, or if I'm not wearing makeup. I will have a 4 a.m. flight and I'll wake up an hour early to do my makeup and get ready and do all the things. And so I'm curious what your experience is with that.
I was exactly like you for several years. I think it trickled down when COVID started. And the normalization of showing up on camera in a corporate meeting in sweatpants without makeup with your hair in a high bun came about, and also the exhaustion of trying to keep up. I really think those first 2 weeks of COVID were kind of like a switch for a lot of people. And I felt that for myself too, where I've accepted that loungewear is okay. I've accepted that not wearing makeup every single day is okay. There's also a lot of benefits to not wearing makeup every single day. Mm-hmm. And I'm cognizant of that and remind that to myself. I'm also a little lazy. And at the end of the day, if I can skip a step before getting into bed, I will definitely take that opportunity. But I definitely had the same struggle as you the first few years. And I think over time, I would just drop one thing at a time. First, I started wearing the leggings in public if I could style them in a cute way.
Yes.
Then I would stop wearing the mascara on a daily basis. Then I discovered matching sweatsuits and how they can be styled for a grocery run. The hair, I think my hair was always a mess. I have like curly, wavy, kind of not the greatest texture of hair. And it's just something I've accepted, that it's just not always going to look beautiful. And again, it comes down to the effort it takes to make it look beautiful all the time. Mm-hmm. But over the years, I would just drop one thing at a time. But I do like to look put together. If I'm going to wear a sweatsuit in public, it's going to be a matching sweatsuit. I'm going to be mindful of how a handbag can elevate the look, how a pair of sunglasses can elevate the look. I like going for elevated casual. Ironic, because my agency is Elevated Social.
I love that. I love that so much. And then let's chat a little bit about your experience in post-secondary. So what was that like? You said it was really different as a mature student. Can you tell us a little bit more about that time for you?
Absolutely. So I think the first difference is that while all the 18-year-olds were going to Frosch, I was squeezing in a Euro trip with my boyfriend, now husband, to see something and do something before starting school. And then coming into university, I really felt that I had a bit more responsibility, a bit more to think about. Again, because I was a little bit late to the game with education, I was also hustling part-time in order to at least have some kind of paycheck, whereas a lot of students didn't have to do that. They were living with, I was living with my parents as well, but they were living with their parents, who were extremely supportive of their post-secondary education. There was no expectation that, hey, you should already be making money. Whereas for me, that was a little bit different. Even though my mom understood that I was studying, she also had set a boundary that you're 22, we've supported you up until now from start to finish. If you want to buy a new sweater, you're going to have to buy it yourself. If you want a snack that I haven't bought for the house, you're going to have to go out and get it yourself. I got a car around that time too, that my grandparents gifted me, but with the implication that I take them out for groceries on that car. So the insurance, the gas, everything was on me. I had these real life adult responsibilities alongside studying. But I think this actually comes back to ballroom dancing, because I had spent so many hours of so many days dedicated to ballroom and that industry. I didn't really have a sense of downtime. Mm-hmm. So while the average person, the average student was used to spending 2-3 hours at the end of the day unwinding, watching TV, relaxing, whatever it might be, I didn't have that. I was kind of always on. So I actually found that coming out of ballroom and into this new real world of part-time job, full-time studying, I actually found my time management was unreal. I kind of wish I could go back to that because I had time for everything. At some point, I was studying full-time, I was writing a blog, and I had two part-time jobs. And I didn't feel overwhelmed. I felt like I was handling it. I had good grades. I graduated with honors, whereas others couldn't upkeep a single part-time job.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's no small feat. When I was going to school, I think I worked two part-time jobs as well. And I similarly wish I could go back and be like, what were you doing? What was your secret there? Because
yeah,
now
how did
I'm
that
like,
work?
Yeah, so overwhelmed with things. But it's amazing what we can do when we like really put our mind to it, especially in those like transition ages. So I love that. So you've had a lot of shifts in your career kind of since then. What are some of the big takeaways that you've had?
The biggest takeaway, and this has been my goal since early September, is network, network, network. And I wish it's something I was more adamant about from my first day at my first internship, just upkeeping those relationships, finding a way to click with every single person. I think, again, I was obviously younger and less experienced, but if I felt that me and someone didn't really vibe, I wouldn't try to look for a way to connect with them. I would just write off that relationship. Whereas now I try to find the common ground with every single person I meet, and it exists. It is possible to find. So that's one of my biggest takeaways. My other takeaway to anybody listening that has a corporate job, any deck you put together, save it externally. Any template you create, save it externally. Any contact you have, save their information externally, add them on LinkedIn, start a spreadsheet of every single person you work with within your company, with external companies, write down who they are, their contact information, what they do, what you collaborated on. Because looking back, even some of the connections I have on LinkedIn, I know we've done work together, but a lot of them, I can't even remember what was the exact project. And to rekindle those conversations, coming back to networking, it would have been helpful to know exactly what we achieved together.
Yeah.
But definitely networking and saving all of your work externally.
That's such a smart idea to create that spreadsheet. I feel like half the time I'm interviewing someone and they have these like great ideas and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write this down and do it. And I feel like I'm always learning so much. So I really love that idea because similarly, I have people on my LinkedIn and I'm like, I know we did a brand campaign together, but I don't remember what it was or how it
Exactly.
went. Yeah.
Exactly.
So good. So tell us a little bit about what you've kind of got going on right now with your agency that you run.
Yeah, so it's been about a year that I've formally been working under my agency, and the last few months have definitely been go, go, go. I have a small portfolio of clients, but a lot of work for each client, which I think is the way I'd rather keep things running. I'm building out an in-house creator team. So I've got one I'm working with consistently, and I'm constantly looking for new content creators as well, particularly for user-generated content style videos, because I think that industry of UGC is changing and shifting, where brands and companies can no longer sustain paying $200 per video, and it's moving in-house, but there's also brands that can't afford an in-house team of creators, but they want those consistent 2 to 3 faces. So I'd like to think I'm disrupting that market by being a small agency with an in-house team of creators. And these creators essentially have the potential to work for my agency full-time by creating the content for a portfolio of 2 to 3 brands. And then the brands have the benefit of not having to hire creators full-time, but they have these consistent 2 to 3 faces for their brand socials. So I have that side of things with the content creators, the full service social media management. We also do product launches, product activations, event planning. We put on a product launch for one of our clients in October, which was a lot of fun. It turned into this fun party that was both for influencers and the friends and family of the brand founder. And it was just a great way to bring people together, touch and feel the product in person, and just celebrate the launch of something new. And with that, with the event planning side of things, I'm now on the board for an annual fundraiser this year. So we're just starting to kick off the planning. I attended last year as a guest, and I'm really excited to be on the board and on the planning team for this year's event and to see that come to life as well.
That's amazing. Such major, like, major feats. You're doing so well. So given where you currently are and what you're currently doing and all of the career pivots that you had leading up to, if you could go back and you're looking at your younger self, your face to face, and, you know, she had just got dropped from ballroom dancing, and what would you tell yourself?
Ooh. If I was talking to myself the day I got dropped from ballroom dancing, I think I would tell myself to not waste the next 2-3 months being depressed about this big change and to just get up and go, move on. And that's something I think I've done very well since then. Getting fired from my corporate job during COVID was pretty traumatizing as well, considering I got poached into that role. But I think having had kind of a similar experience with my dancing career ending, I was able to snap out of it and move on much quicker because I have had that experience. So I think the biggest thing I would tell myself is get up and go, forget it, drop it. It's not worth dwelling on. You just have to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is your current passion and purpose?
Honestly, I would say my passion for myself as an individual is finding balance.
Mm-hmm.
Having become a mother almost 2 years ago has completely changed my outlook on life, on work, on everything. Mm-hmm. And I think being an entrepreneur and kind of the journey of losing the 9-to-5 as I was finding out I was pregnant was very much a blessing in disguise because it pushed me to find a way to make an income and have the flexibility to be an amazing mom to my toddler. And from the work side of things and my professional passion and purpose, I think it goes hand in hand, where as my own boss and kind of the creator of what I do, I can bring my own vision and strategy forward, which as an entry-level employee in a corporate environment was near impossible. It was very challenging to find upper management that would listen to my ideas. I think I have a lot of creativity, and while I might not have the skill set to bring it forward, I know that I can articulate it and build a team that can bring a vision to life. And I'm confident that that's what we've been doing for our clients up until now. They're happy. I'm happy with the way things are looking based on how I've delegated tasks across my team. And I think just bringing that creativity, that strategy to smaller, medium-sized businesses that with a freelancer on their team likely wouldn't be able to achieve it, but they also can't go to these bigger agencies because that's completely out of pocket. So being that sustainable option for small, medium-sized businesses has been extremely rewarding because even myself as somebody with an e-commerce brand, I lacked that, those resources. I've been pitched by so many agencies that are offering asking for ridiculous amounts of money with not much of an offering. So I'm just really proud that we can give a tangible experience to businesses where they really get a good bang for their buck.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. And it's so impactful. And you mentioned how motherhood really changed your outlook on all of this. Would you be able to share a little bit more insight on that?
Yeah, I think it was a shift of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding where I want to spend my time. So I did have a maternity leave, so to speak. I was freelancing with the one client. I could upkeep that work during my daughter's naps and the evenings after she went to bed. It was manageable. But around the time my daughter was 9 months, I realized I wasn't fulfilled professionally and I was lacking that balance, which comes back to my earlier point. I loved spending time with her. I loved being hands-on with her, but I reached a point where I felt like my brain was hibernating and I wanted to be able to use it again and do something and get back out there in the real world. So when she went to daycare and I was able to spend more time attending conferences, onboarding new clients, but then be able to close my computer if she has to stay home because she's not feeling well, or be able to go pick her up from daycare early and do something together, that has been extremely fulfilling because now I really feel like I'm fulfilled professionally, intellectually. I really feel like in the last 6 months, my brain woke up. But I also have the flexibility to be with her when I need to be with her and when I want to be with her. For example, we came back into the new year, the first week back at daycare, she gets sick. She's home for 2 days. Not ideal when I have a lot going on with clients, but I don't even have to report to anyone that my toddler is homesick and I can give her the attention she needs and catch up on work later. Week two. Daycare calls me the other day. Hey, your kid has a fever. Come get her. So then again, out of the blue, a day and a half, I have her at home. Complete chaos, but I also enjoyed being able to be there for her. And then now that she's back at daycare, to be there for myself as well.
I love that. And I really love that you added like being there for yourself as well. Because a lot of parents, they get into that priority where, you know, my child's my priority, but then they tend to forget about themselves and they forget about their passions and they forget about how good it feels when your brain does wake up. And how good all of that really feels. I know for me, when I was on mat leave, I also worked freelance. I had one client, and I just remember when my son was around like 6 or 7 months old, I was like, I need to get back to work. Like, I ended up cutting my mat leave early, and I had taken the extended one because I originally thought, you know, I'll enjoy the time off. It'll be great. We'll have an extra like summer together, all this. And then I was sitting there and I was like, I really like, I need the passion of work to be back in my life right now. And so I cut my mat leave early because I found something that was a really good fit and it was a really great offer. And the impact in my mental health that that had, I was like, I'm a whole new person. Like, I feel so much better. It makes such a huge difference.
It's
So I love
such a big
that.
difference.
It is. It really is. Is there anything that you're currently working on or trying to raise awareness for?
As I mentioned, I'm on the board for this fundraiser, Ocean Ball. As soon as the information is out, we have a date and everything. I'll definitely share it with you. It was a lot of fun to attend. First of all, we're changing the charity this year, but it's still ocean related. But what I really liked about the fundraiser is it was very much targeted at entrepreneurs, business owners attending. So, first of all, we were raising money for a great cause. And second of all, it was an amazing networking opportunity and an opportunity to meet other people that I wouldn't have otherwise met. I find that there are a lot of networking events, but it's kind of just like, okay, you go, you do a cocktail hour, you chat with people, and you go home at the end of the night. And on the flip side, fundraisers, okay, you raise funds, you party it up, and you go home at the end of the night. So, what I really enjoyed about the Ocean Ball was that it was both a professional experience and just like a feel-good philanthropic one as well.
Amazing.
And the meeting of those two is really special. And also to see all these business owners that are passionate about helping some sort of cause, at least one, and being able to connect on that topic, but also get into intellectual and professional conversations as well. So I'm really excited for that this year and just continuing to build the Elevated Social team. I'm always looking for new content creators to come on board for now as part-timers, hopefully in the future as full-timers, and just continuing to network and meet people and see where there's synergies for us to work together and create magic together.
Love it. And what about your story do you think is important for other people to hear? If you had to broadcast like a message to everyone in the world, like a good one-liner, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to pivot.
Love it. So good. So good.
I feel like the pivoting comes back to dance as well, which is fun
It
because we did
does.
have moves in ballroom called pivots. So it's very, very full circle.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and energy to chat today. It was so fascinating to learn more about the ballroom dancing from kind of the inside scoop. But also to learn a little bit more about your experience with career pivots and what that looks like and how you can kind of continue to persevere through them to find what you're really passionate about.
Thank you. This has been such a great discussion. We have so much in common with dance, with toddlers.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's a lot of women, I think, living in parallel and going through a lot of the same things. So it's just so nice to connect on that level and see the similarities and share the insights too.
For sure. Well, thank you for joining.
Thank you.